Welcome to A Beggar Who Found Bread. I'm your host, Brad, and yes, I am a beggar. I found bread, the bread of life, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. I simply want others to know where to find this bread, that they would endure and bear up under all this world can pour out on us for an unmatchable glory, which is to come. This episode, Everybody Hurts. Shout out to alt rockers REM for the title to this episode. When it was released, REM's debut album, Murmur, was dubbed Rolling Stone magazine's album of the year. Prior to their first single dropping, the band's food budget while on tour was $2 per day. Yeah, that was their per diem. $2 a day. I am pretty sure that it was per band member. Otherwise, that would just be crazy. When drummer Bill Berry left the band, they produced 3 studio albums, and they did so sans drummer. That's right. They didn't have a drummer in the studio with them. They used drum machines instead. AI was taking over even back then, people. The machines are trying to take over. Somebody cue AC/DC's Who Made Who. All right, never mind. REM's song, Shiny Happy People, was the original theme song for the TV show Friends. And I'll be honest with you, I feel shiny and happy to report I've never seen an episode of that show. If you are a fan of Friends, just please don't tell me about it, okay? Or, you know, then we just can't be, well, you see where I'm going with that. In any event, it's not about the music. It's about the message. Everybody hurts. We will be digging into 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 today as we continue our overview of this epistle from the Apostle Paul, also called Shaul, which features some bars dropped in from Silas and Timothy as well. This is the third episode in this study, and the first two are titled People Get Ready and Wind in My Sails. Please refer back to those episodes for more on the history and context of this letter. We're going to jump into chapter 3, but to keep the flow and context, we are going to back up a little bit into chapter 2. We'll start at verse 17 of chapter 2 and then move forward. Keep in mind, this epistle is written to believers in Thessalonica, the audience being Jewish followers of Yeshua, as well as God-fearing Gentile followers of the Master, Yeshua HaMashiach. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17. And as for us, brothers, when we were deprived of your company for a short time, in person, but not in thought, we missed you and tried hard to come see you. We wanted so much to come to you. I, Shaul, tried more than once, but the adversary stopped us. For when our Lord Yeshua returns, what will be our hope, our joy, our crown to boast about? Won't it be you? Yes, you are our glory and our joy. So, when we could no longer stand it, we agreed to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker, for the good news of the Messiah to make you solid and encourage you in your trust so that none of you would let these persecutions unsettle him. For you yourselves know that these are bound to come to us even when we are with you. We kept telling you in advance that you were about to be persecuted. And indeed, it has happened, as you know. That is the reason why, after I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your trust. I was afraid that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our hard work had been wasted. But now, Timothy has come to us from you, bringing good news about your trust and love, and telling us that you remember us well and are always longing to see us just as we are longing to see you. Because of this, brothers, in spite of all our trouble and distress, we are comforted over you because of your trust, so that now we are alive, since you continue to stand fast, united with the Lord. Indeed, how can we thank God enough for you or express to our God all the joy we feel because of you? Night and day, we pray as hard as we can that we will be able to see you face to face and supply whatever shortcomings there may be in your trust. May God our Father and our Lord Yeshua direct our way to you. And as for you, may the Lord make you increase and overflow in love toward each other, indeed toward everyone, just as we do toward you, so that he may give you the inner strength to be blameless by reason of your holiness when you stand before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Yeshua with all his angels. Let's break this chapter down to see what was being conveyed to these Yeshua followers. Beginning at verse 1 of chapter 3, we did go back to verse 17 of chapter 2, but we're going to pick up where we left off last episode. So, when we could no longer stand it, we agreed to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker, for the good news of the Messiah, to make you solid and encourage you in your trust, so that none of you would let these persecutions unsettle him. All right, so Paul, Silas, and Timothy were very concerned about these believers and wanted to follow up with them and encourage them in their faith. As it happened, through many attempts and struggles, they were in the city of Athens. Paul and Silas were able to coordinate to get Timothy to them. As chapter 2 states, they had made plans and attempted to get to them. Paul says that the adversary, HaSatan, thwarted their efforts. So how did the enemy prevent them from getting to these believers? My understanding is that it was through the persecution that they were experiencing. You can take a look at Acts chapter 17, and you'll see some of what Paul, Timothy, and Silas endured. There were some unbelieving Jewish people who began persecuting the Yeshua followers. This was in Thessalonica, and we can read about a man named Jason in Acts 17 with some others who were dragged out of their homes and forced before the authorities to be punished for declaring there was another king greater than the emperor, this man called Yeshua. Some of these charges and threats are echoed. They're familiar. These are things that were happening when the Gospels were written, when Yeshua was brought before Pilate and the other leaders and the high priest. He was charged with being charged with insurrection, that he was asserting himself above the emperor. And so we see these kind of charges continuing on with the Yeshua followers, as those who hated them and feared them presented them as insurrectionists trying to overthrow the government, which clearly was not Yeshua's goal in that moment. Yes, the government will be rested on his shoulder when that kingdom comes. Anyway, I'm going to stay on task here with 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. There were some unbelieving Jewish people. They were not followers of Yeshua. And they began persecuting Yeshua's followers. When the persecutors learned that Paul and his companions had left Thessalonica, they were then moved to Berea and other cities. They gave chase. They wanted to hunt them down and attempt to stop them from spreading the gospel. So in addition to these non-believing Jews, there were those among the pagan idolatrous Gentiles who were also concerned that their gods were being angered by people leaving them to serve Hashem, the one true God, through Yeshua. So they had it coming and going from either direction, but they were undeterred in their mission, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They continued. They were trying to get back to this fellowship that they planted in Thessalonica, concerned that the persecution, suffering, and trials could dissuade them and discourage them in their faith as they were newfound disciples of Yeshua. Continuing in this letter, Paul wrote, "For you yourselves know that these persecutions are bound to come to us. Even when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were about to be persecuted. And indeed, it has happened, as you know. That is the reason why, after I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your trust. I was afraid that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our hard work had been wasted." Trials, tribulation, suffering, and persecution will come to followers of Yeshua. Anyone tells you any different, and they are lying. They are full of delusions. They are selling a bill of goods. And yes, it sells really well. Who doesn't want to buy that? Oh, if I make a statement of faith, then everything is going to be all puppies, ponies, and popsicles. It's all love, luck, and lollipops from here. The question is not whether we will face persecution or trials or not. That's not the question, whether or not we will face those things. The question is, will we bear up under them and remain faithful to the Master when they come? Not if. Will we bear up under and remain faithful to the call of the Master? Everybody hurts. Everyone will go through it. But Hashem has equipped us to endure and to see these things for what they truly are, which, as the Apostle wrote elsewhere, are momentary light afflictions that pale in comparison to the glory to be found in following Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Momentary light afflictions. Hallelujah. The Master himself made it very plain that his followers will face tribulation and persecution. He made no bones about it. He did not split hairs. He made it very clear. Please read through the Gospels. And specifically, you can look at Matthew 24 and John chapter 16. But there are many other warnings that Yeshua provided his followers. This is why he was so strong in the words he used as to what it will take to be his disciple. The faint of heart and the faint of faith need not apply. Now, having said that, the strength of heart and faith are not things that we muster up on our own. We have nothing to boast about in and of ourselves. Look how strong my faith was. No. No, that's not how it works. We can't lean on ourselves and brag about ourselves. We boast only in the Lord. We receive these things from the Holy One, blessed be He. So we recently discussed, and I don't remember which episode it was in, but there's a misunderstanding of the verses in Genesis which refer to Abraham believing and it being counted or credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now many see this through a lens of Paul's letters. The use of it in his writings, he quotes those passages. And so it is looked at as this: Abraham believed, and God credited him with being blameless, being righteous, due to his faith. So it was his faith that made him righteous. He believed, and so because he believed, he was righteous. And so that's all you have to do to be righteous is believe. Just believe, and you're righteous. And that's a common doctrine of today. So I believe that is a significant and dangerous misinterpretation of what is actually written in Genesis and what Paul was saying in his letters. The issue lies partially within the use of pronouns. Are we really talking about pronouns right now? Yes, we're talking about pronouns right now, but not in the modern sense or confusion. The word, so it's pronouns and the capitalization of them, or where it should or should not be, and the use of the word righteousness. So in that verse in Genesis, the word that is used for righteousness is tzedakah, which means charitable giving. And so I believe, as do others, that a more accurate translation of this verse would be, Abraham believed God, and Abraham credited his faith to God as a charitable gift, tzedakah. Abraham believed God, and Abraham gave credit for his faith to God Almighty as a charitable gift from him. That's how Abraham saw it. It was a gift from Hashem, his faith, a gift. At any rate, Yeshua's followers will face persecution, affliction, and suffering due to their faith in Hashem through Yeshua. Back to this letter. Paul had become so concerned about these new disciples that he managed a way to get Timothy to them to check in on them, fearing that they may have given into temptation to renounce their trust in Yeshua. So Paul continues, "But now Timothy has come to us from you, bringing good news about your trust and love and telling us that you remember us well and are always longing to see us just as we long to see you." Paul has been encouraged by Timothy's report. He and Silas were encouraged by Timothy's report regarding these precious believers and their faith. He goes on, "Because of this, brothers, in spite of all our trouble and distress, we are comforted over you because of your trust, so that now we are alive, since you continue to stand fast, united with the Lord." Paul and the others find great solace in the continued and strengthened faith of these Thessalonian believers, even while enduring affliction of their own at the hands of others. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are still encouraged, even while they're going through their own struggles. So just knowing they are steadfast in their faith, these believers, that is fuel for Paul, Silas, and Timothy. These situations have great application for us today also. We can get so caught up in our own situations and circumstances that we become discouraged in our personal faith. So seeing or hearing reports of the progress of others can spur us forward, increasing our motivation to not let our own faith waver. And I can tell you that I have personally experienced this to great praise to our God and King in a variety of ways, both in my personal life and my professional life. God is faithful in always providing a way of escape when temptation comes. Baruch Hashem. Sometimes the temptation is wavering in our faith, and he provides a way of escape from that temptation by encouraging us through the testimonies of others, and particularly those with whom we have relationships and those whom we have planted and watered seeds and seen faith birthed in them and their continued growth in their walk with him. The letter goes on, picking up at verse 9. Indeed, how can we thank God enough for you, or express to our God all the joy we feel because of you? Hallelujah. It is an immense feeling of gratitude, no doubt. Verse 10. Night and day we pray as hard as we can that we will be able to see you face to face and supply whatever shortcomings there may be in your trust. May God our Father and our Lord Yeshua direct our way to you. So even with hearing this report from Timothy, they still want to reconnect with these believers to encourage them in their faith and to receive the benefit of seeing them face to face, their own encouragement. And a not so subtle detail is Paul's reference to praying night and day. So this is an acknowledgement of the Hebrew day, which begins and ends at sunset, night and day. And we've looked at that from taking a look at the creation narrative in Genesis chapter 1, night and day. There was night and there was day, sunset and sunrise. Also, Paul's mention of prayer here, even as he does in his other writings, to pray without ceasing, continuously pray, and so on, as he encourages others to do, those are associated with the prayer times in the temple and at the synagogues, the prescribed times of daily prayer. Moving forward here, verse 12. And as for you, may the Lord make you increase and overflow in love toward each other, indeed toward everyone, just as we do toward you, so that he may give you the inner strength to be blameless by reason of your holiness when you stand before God, our Father, at the coming of our Lord Yeshua with all his angels. As the Master commanded, Paul directs, increase in love towards one another. Yeshua stated that is how others will know we are his, by our love for one another, us with our brothers and sisters. They will know you are mine by your love for one another. So Paul asserts that by increasing in love towards our brothers and sisters, as well as others around us. Remember, Yeshua said we're supposed to love our neighbors. And who are our neighbors? They're all our neighbors. Everyone. Anyway, Paul asserts that by increasing in our love towards our brothers and sisters, regardless of their denomination. That's my interpolation there. By our doing this, increasing in that love, Hashem will provide us the inner strength to walk blameless and holy, even as we stand before him when Yeshua returns with the host of heaven accompanying him. Please see the correlation here. Yeshua and Paul both emphasize the absolute necessity, the requirement for loving one another. This is a weightier matter of the Torah that Yeshua discussed. It is a weightier matter of the Torah, loving one another. And we cannot stand before Adonai Elohim, the Lord our God, without loving one another. It is evidence that we follow Yeshua. We will be known by our fruit. This is a must-have for followers of Yeshua. So this is an incredibly power-packed letter, of course. The power behind it being the Ruach HaKodesh, which inspired Paul to write these things. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. So there is much more to come, Lord willing, in future episodes. In the meantime, please, for now, study to show yourself approved of God. Dig into his word, read through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians to get the full grasp of what was going on at that time. And again, you can refer back to the previous two episodes in this study if you would like. There is a lost and dying world full of hurting people, my friends, who need the bread of life, that they may bear up under the pain and receive a portion in the coming kingdom. So let's go out and give them heaven. Until next time, may the favor that the Master, Yeshua the Messiah, the Tzaddik, the Righteous One, earned in the eyes of Hashem, be upon you and all your household. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, may it reign in your hearts and minds in the Messiah Yeshua. Grace and peace. Chen Shalom.